بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سيد الشعر عارف بالله حضرت اقدس حضرت معنا شاه حكيم محمد اختر صاحب نور الله مرقده. التايتل از جلسه قرب محبت. محبت منك بي ايسا زمانا بي گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے صبح خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں مگر تو عاشق خالق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے صلا عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ. صلا عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ کیا عاشق روتے رہتے صنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے کیا عاشق روتے رہتے صنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سیاہی خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سیاہی تو اپنے آنسوؤں سے عشق اس کو جوتا رہتا ہے تو اپنے آنسوؤں سے عشق اس کو جوتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے گنہگاروں کی مدد حقیر کر اے زاہد نادان گنہگاروں کی مدد حقیر کر اے زاہد نادان کہ ان کی آہ پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے کہ ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی
گزرتا ہے بدیدِ مرشد کامل جو دردِ دل ہوا حاصل بدیدِ مرشد کامل جو دردِ دل ہوا حاصل تو دل پر جلسہِ قربِ محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے تو دل پر جلتا ہے قرب محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب و چاختا جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب و جاختا جرم بے وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے بجرم بے وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم This is the kalam of Adis Billah Hazrat Abdur Rahman Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu From this ash'ar, from this kalam we can see the deep love which Hazrat Lay had for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala We make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala also grant us a speck of this love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala In the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Nabi Alayhi Salaam has taught us to make dua for the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك So Hazrat says محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے that sometimes on this path of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such conditions I come across through such stations that زبان خاموش رہتی ہے that my tongue is silent مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے but my heart is not silent Rather, my heart is always continuously crying and yearning for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe just from this we can understand the hadith that death is like a bridge which joins one lover to his beloved. اگرچہ راہ تقوا میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں. Thereafter, Hazrat is indicating to how a person can gain this great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat says that even though on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, A person will have to adopt taqwa. Hazar or gham bhi aate hai. A person will have to sacrifice and go through a lot of grief. There will be turbulence, there will be storms that will be going through in a person's heart. Magar jo aashiq sadiq hai, gham ko sehta rehta hai. But that person who is true in his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will continue taking on the pain because he knows that what he is aiming for, what his target is not something which is temporary. Rather, it is the everlasting and the permanent love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sila ishq majazi ka ye kaisa hai are toba. How is it that the people of this world, they are running after false love, running after the love of dunya, the love of woman. But how foolish is this? Ki aashik rote rehte hai, sanam khusota rehta hai. That now the lover, he is crying for his beloved and he is
in his heart is crying, he is missing her, he's thinking of her. But now he is beloved, she's sleeping, khud sota rehta, she's not even thinking of him. She's in her own world. But in the other hand, if a person makes Allah his beloved, Allah Ta'ala say in the middle of the night, at any time you're thinking of me, at the same time I will think of you again. Khatao ki agar aayi daman par zara siyahi. Then Hazrat explains that now how when a person, when he starts off the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if, how it comes in a hadith, that when a person commits any sin, then it leaves a black dot on his heart. So a person makes tawbah, that black dot is washed away. But if a person continues sinning, then the heart totally becomes fully black. So Hazrat says that now when a person intends to travel in the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you happen to commit a sin, and now your heart has become darkened, to apne aansuon se ishko usko dhota rehta hai, that now beg and come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cry tears of tawbah, so that the heart can be clear. Gunahgaro ki mat tahkir kar e zahire nadan. That now when you're going on this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be doing righteous actions, you'll be doing a lot of ibadat. But remember that when you see others doing wrong, do not look down at them. Ke unki aahu zari pal farak bhi rota rehta hai. Because you do not know that person, at the end of the day, how much he is crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he is regretting his sins, and the person doesn't know what future this person has. As our Hazrat has taught us, that a person, a sinner, he got a bright future. You never know who he can be, the wali in the future. وَفَيْضِ مُرْشِدِ كَامِيلِ جَوْ جَبْدِ دِلْ هُوَا حَاسِلِ. Thereafter, Hazrat is explaining that now if a person wishes to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the way? Hazrat says that a person will receive it through the blessings of a Piri Kamil. Like how it comes in the dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسَلُكَ حُبَّكَ وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ وَالْعَمَلَ الَّذِي يُبَلِّغُنِي حُبَّكَ. So these three parts of the dua. The first part is, اللهم إني أسألك حبك. Oh Allah, I ask you for your love. And the last part is, والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. And I ask you to give me the tawfiq to do such actions which will give me your love. So ulama explain that the middle one, وحب من يحبك. Oh Allah, grant me the love of those who love you. So ulama explain that if a person wishes to reach the third, wants the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wants the love of doing such actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and this is the bridge, which is the second part of the dua, that he has to connect himself with those who are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jo ghairo par fida karta hai apne qalb o jaan akhtar. That those people who sacrifice their hearts, they're sacrificing their lives for everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But jurm be wafai haq se wo mahroom rehta hai. That because of this crime which a person has committed, that a person made a pact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Am I not your nourisher, your cherisher, your sustainer, your provider? At that time you all in union by the replied that, oh Allah, definitely you are our everything. So as I say that now a person who has broken his pact and has been unloyal, so now this person, he will be deprived of the true and pure love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all of you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. In the chapter before that, حياة المسلمين مولانا أشرف علي ثاني رحمة الله عليه has mentioned the حقوق and rights of people. He said the rights of people are applicable to all Muslims in general. However, it is obvious that the importance and significance of rights will increase if these are related to special people. In regards to rights, parents enjoy priority and greater significance because of the close relationship with their offspring. The rights of parents are unanimously accepted. There is therefore no need to elaborate on the details of these rights. However, some explanation regarding certain aspects which are not generally known seems to be necessary. These aspects have been explained in a separate kitab known as Ta'dil al-Huquq al-Walidain. This treatise is included here as an appendix to Ruh number 9. That means, you've got the rights of your parents, but also for the atidal, there's moderation in it. You cannot let that happen, that you are fulfilling the rights of your parents and then you do not fulfill the rights of your wife and your children. So there's moderation in deen. Everyone's rights have to be fulfilled. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Allah commands you to fulfill trust to the rightful one. And Allah commands you to deal with justice when you decide amongst people. Two commands are understood from this ayat. Number one, it is incumbent to discharge the wajib rights of people. And number two, it is not permissible to destroy or fail in discharging the rights of one person for the sake of the rights of another person. This article proposes to discuss two specific cases which relate to the two above general rules shown by the Quran Kareem. The two cases are the fixation of the wajib rights and the non-wajib, non-obligated rights of the parents, an equilibrium, a balanced attitude to be adopted in the event of a conflict between the rights of parents and wife or the parents and one's children. Some people, unscrupulous people, and experience has shown that there are many such people, are so extreme in neglecting the right of parents that they totally ignore the Sharia's command pertaining to the compulsion of obedience to parents. As a consequence of the total indifference in this regard, they invoke the greatest of calamities and misfortunes on themselves. On the other hand, some pious people adopt the other extreme, whereby their obedience to their parents is of such a high degree, which causes the destruction of the rights of others. Let example the rights of their wives and children. This set of extremists are again indifferent to the command, which decree of obligatory the rights of parents and children. Thus they too, like the former set of people, invite calamity and misfortune on themselves. Besides the two sets of people mentioned above, there is a third set. These people do not destroy or fail in the discharge of the rights of people. They fulfill these rights and discharge their duties and obligations. But they understand some non-incumbent duties, nafal duties, to be farz. Believing optional duties to be compulsory, they set about fulfilling these with this attitude. Sometimes due to certain circumstances or some other factors, they are unable to remain steadfast in the discharge of such duties. They find it difficult and unbearable. As a result, frustration sets in, and their minds are afflicted with a host of evil thoughts. They start to believe that the Sharia has imposed unbearable burdens on men, and in this way they ruin their deen. In this way, this group is also guilty of trampling on the rights of someone, and that someone is one's own nafs, which also has got rights over one. Speaking on the obligatory rights of the nafs, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna li nafsika alayka haqqan." Verily, a nafs too has a right over you. Among these wajib rights, obligatory rights, protection of one's deen has priority. The fulfillment of nafal rights of parents with the attitude described above sometimes leads a person towards sin. If after the laws have been correctly understood, one sets about fulfilling rights which are not obligatory, the evil mentioned above will not occur. Frustration will not overtake one, and one will then not attribute one's failure to adhere to the self-imposed task as an injustice, an unbearable burden imposed on man by deen. That is, if you know the rights, what is compulsory upon you, and what's nafal. So if you're fulfilling the nafal, the rights of your parents, is a very great form of ibadah. But sometimes you find it too difficult, you won't fulfill it, you won't feel Shariat is made it difficult upon me, and because of Shariat now I'm in this difficulty and problem, because you'll understand the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's faraz, what's nafal, what's compulsory upon a person. Then a person will realize that the difficulty was of one's own making. Furthermore, after having correctly understood the nafal nature of certain rights, it's not obligatory, one will derive pleasure from one's steadfastness in executing these. In short, there is great wisdom in having knowledge of the laws of Shariat. On the contrary, there is nothing but harm in ignorance. The essential narrations of Hadith and Fiqh pertaining to this subject will now be enumerated. And thereafter, the rules extracted from these narrations will be explained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one from whom aid is sought, and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only do we place our trust. One hadith, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah, that I had a wife whom I loved, while Umar radiallahu anhu disliked her. He ordered me divorce her, but I refused. Umar radiallahu anhu then went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and mentioned my refusal to him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, divorce her. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu then divorced her. In Miraqat, the commentary of Mishkat, it is explained that this order given by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is amr istikhbar, the compulsory is mustahab, or an order the execution of which is not compulsory, although it is preferable. This type of order falls in the mustahab category of laws. If the order was intended as an obligatory command, wajib, there must have been some factor for this command. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says in Ihya al-Ulum that this hadith indicates that the right of the father has priority over the right of the wife. But for the prevalence of this priority, it is essential that the father is not motivated by a corrupt motive. A person like Umar radiallahu anhu having this desire, it's very obvious he was a person whose desire had been done. He can't be having an incorrect intention. So Hazrat Anwar rahmatullah is saying it's not compulsory. Later on the Messiah will come, inshallah. When your father commands his child to divorce his wife also, it's mustahab, it's preferable, but it's not compulsory. So a person is not obliged to divorce his wife, especially if the father has got some other ulterior motives, etc. Then in that case, it's not necessary. But all of these masail, we should actually go to the muftis and ask them to get to know the laws of Shariat in its proper perspective. Inshallah, by means of this, a person will not become frustrated. Allah Ta'ala give us to understand.